Okay, 1 minute early.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, and good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。
And we're continuing, although we had a 1 week break, we're continuing with our series of lectures on preaching is the essence.
上周我们中断了一次，今天我们继续我们的系列讲课，传播是精髓。
So we'll begin by offering our obeisances.
首先我们向Srila Prabhupada献上祷文。
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Vashchitya Desha Tarane Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the topic for this morning is the preacher should practice tolerance.
今天早上我们的主题是传教者应该练习容忍。
And as always, we've chosen some quotes.
每一次我们都会选取经典当中的一些话。
So our first quote is from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, and this is a purport.
今天节选的是来自于《圣念伯加瓦坛》第六篇的一个释节的要旨。
You can go ahead and read that, please.
这是来自于《圣念伯加瓦坛》的第六篇第四章第五释节的要旨。Vaishnava 在传播至尊主的荣耀时，必会遇到许多反对者，但圣查丹尼马哈普拉布忠告他们在传教的过程中不要变得愤怒。主查丹尼马哈普拉布给予如下这个公式说：人应该以谦卑的心态吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名。认为自己比路上的一根稻草还要卑微，人应该比一棵树还要宽容忍受，没有丝毫的虚荣感，随时愿意向他人致以所有的敬意。怀着这样的心态，人可以不断的吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名，致力于传播至尊主荣耀的人，应该比一根草还要谦卑，比一棵树还宽容忍受，这样他们就可以传播至尊主的荣耀而不感到困难。
So here, Prabhupada makes mention of the fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that we should not become angry while preaching.
在这个要旨当中，是了 Prabhupada 提到说，Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 忠告我们说，在传教的过程当中，不要变得愤怒。
Because, of course, it goes without saying that every conditioned soul is very much controlled by the modes of material nature.
因为毫无疑问，每一个受条件限制的灵魂都在深受物质自然三形态的影响。
Even as aspiring devotees, we also struggle with the influence of the modes of material nature.
即便作为准奉献者的我们，也是常常在与物质自然三形态在做斗争。
And we are practicing some type of sadhana.
我们在做着某种程度的 sadhana 规范修习。
And to the extent we practice seriously, to that extent, our consciousness is being purified.
我们在多大程度上多么认真地进行规范修习，就在多大程度上能够让我们的知觉得到净化。
And even still, the lower modes of passion and ignorance still influence us.
即便如此，也难免激情心态和愚昧心态这两种低等物质自然形态的影响。
We would hope not as much as before we became devotees.
但是希望现在我们受低等物质沾心态的影响，比起我们成为奉献者之前受低等物质沾心态的影响要少一些，少一些。
But that will vary from devotee to devotee, depending on just how much karmic baggage they're carrying with them and how serious they are in their practice.
一个奉献者在多大程度上受低等物质沾心态的影响，当然这也取决于他过往的业报积累，以及他在奉爱规范修习当中的认真程度。
What to speak of the non-devotees who are not practicing any process of purification?
那就更不用说没有在练习任何的净化程序的非奉献者了。
Naturally, being influenced by passion and ignorance, they can say things, they can do things, and, you know, this can be very agitating to a preacher.
因为受到低等的物质沾心态、激情心态和愚昧心态的影响，所以他们自然会说出一些或做出一些让传教者觉得很受干扰的一些事情来。
But if we respond with anger, then our preaching will not be very effective.
但如果面临这样的情况，我们就轻易的动怒的话，那我们的传教就不会有效率。
You know, first of all, we will lose our intelligence because whenever you become angry, you know, sometimes, oftentimes, the mind goes blank and, you know, you will blurt out anything. You can say anything.
首先，愤怒会让我们失去智性，一旦失去了智性，往往我们就感觉脑子一片空白。 在脑子空白的情况下，我们就可能什么话都说得出来。And
we often later regret that.
事后又后悔不已。So
under the influence of anger, we lose our intelligence.
在愤怒的影响下，我们往往会失去智性。But
this is an age-old problem. It's not unique to us in this particular time in history.
但这个问题并不是我们所面临的独一无二的问题，而是一个由来已久的问题。You
may remember from the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna poses a question to Krishna.
大家可能还记得在《博伽梵歌》第三章有提到，Arjuna问到Krishna的一个问题。And
he asked Krishna, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force?
Arjuna asked Krishna, 说人即使不愿为恶，却身不由己，是什么力量在驱使他呢？
And what does Krishna say? He says, Kama Asha Krodha Asha Rajo Guna Samudbhavaha. He says, Arjuna, it's lust only, which is born of contact with the mode of passion.
Krishna 说只是色欲呀，Arjuna，色欲产生于与物质情欲形态的接触，随后又转为嗔怒，它是这个世界上吞没一切的罪恶的大敌。He
says later that is transformed into wrath or extreme anger.
他说到色欲，是因为物质自然。 激情型与物质情欲形态的接触，随后它又会转为嗔怒。So
Prabhupada explains that when the living entity comes in contact with material nature, his original eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust.
是了，帕巴达也解释说，当生物体与物质自然形态接触的时候，它原本的对 Krishna 的爱就会转变成色欲。
And he compares that to milk, which in contact with this kind of souring agent is called tamarind. Tamarind's a fruit, and it's then transformed into yogurt.
他举了一个例子，就好比是牛奶遇到罗旺子，或者叫酸角，就会变成酸奶。
So the original love that we have for Krishna, when we come into this material world under the influence of the motive passion, it becomes transformed into lust.
我们对 Krishna 的原本的纯粹的爱，当我们来到物质世界和物质自然形态，尤其是激情形态相接触的时候，这种原本的爱就会被转变成色欲。
Prabhupada likes analogy, you know, he likes to use these comparisons. So, love transforms into lust, like milk in contact with tamarind is transformed into yogurt.
说了 Prabhupada 讲话喜欢打比方，他说就像牛奶遇到罗旺子会变成酸奶，同样的，我们的对 Krishna 纯粹的爱遇到物质自然形态会变成色欲。
It's a way to make something that may be somewhat complicated or difficult to understand easier to understand by giving a comparison.
通过比喻打比方就会让难以理解的概念变得简单易懂。
Then he says that when the lust is unsatisfied, another verse says it burns like fire, it's unsatisfied, and then it turns into wrath. There's anger, there's frustration, there's anger. And therefore, you know, one will say things and do things. It's all the movements of the material nature.
接着又说到，当色欲得不到满足的时候，它就像烈火一般不断的燃烧，最后转变成嗔怒和沮丧，然后人们就会在物质自然形态的完全的影响下去说话做事。
So the lust is it seems to manifest due to passion, but then whenthat's unfulfilled, then the lower mode takes over, the mode of ignorance. And actually, wrath or anger is a manifestation of ignorance.
当由于激情形态的影响，人的会有产生色欲，当色欲得不到满足的时候，就人又会堕入到物质自然更低等的形态当中，也就是愚昧形态。我们所说的嗔怒、愤怒就是属于愚昧形态。
So what's the remedy?
那有什么办法呢？
Prabhupada said, instead of allowing the mode of passion to be degraded into ignorance, rather it should be elevated to goodness.
释迦牟尼佛说，与其让我们从激情形态堕入愚昧形态，不如从激情形态提升到善良形态。
He says, by following a prescribed method of living and acting.
具体怎么做呢？他说要遵守一种经典当中所规定的生活和行为的方式程序。
So we understand that the process of Krishna consciousness, if applied properly, it can transform lust into love.
我们知道，如果能够恰当的去修习 Krishna 知觉的程序，色欲就能够被转变成爱。
In that tamagun can be transformed into sattvagun.
Tamagun 也就是愚昧形态，也能够被转变成sattvagun。善良心态。
So Prabhupada says, by a particular method of living and acting.
Prabhupada 说，方法就是通过一种特定的生活方式和行为方式。
So certainly our lifestyle of Krishna consciousness, it can very easily elevate one to goodness if one practices properly.
Krishna 知觉的程序, Krishna 知觉的生活方式, 无疑能够轻易地将人提升到善良心态, 前提是我们认真的, 认真地去修习。
One of the things that separated Srila Prabhupada from all the other gurus who are coming to the West is he said he wouldn't compromise his principles.
Srila Prabhupada之所以不同于去到西方的其他的所谓的guru，就是因为他从不妥协。
Just like the four regulative principles, he wouldn't compromise.
比如在四项规范原则方面，他是从未妥协过的。
He refers to them as the regulative principles of freedom.
他说这四项规范原则，它是导向自由的规范原则。
And certainly following principles in those days, in the 60s, where most young people were leading a very hedonistic lifestyle, you know, it was not very popular.
当然我们知道, 60年代的时候, 很多年轻人都是享乐主义的一代, 所以让他们来遵守这些规范原则, 当然不是什么容易的事儿。
But here comes Srila Prabhupada introducing these well, quite strict regulative principles.
可是Srila Prabhupada却毫无妥协地引入了四项规范原则。
Other gurus who came, they were very liberal.
其他的guru就开放的多了。And
they got a following.
也因此获得了大量的追随者。But
because they didn't really have any standard or teach any principles for purification, their followers didn't really transform. They just basically remained as they were.
但是因为这些guru他们没有任何的标准，也没有教给他们的追随者获得进化的一些原则和程序，所以他们的追随者还是保持原样。
But because Srila Prabhupada didn't compromise on these principles and provided that his followers practiced them strictly, they became purified.
但是因为Srila Prabhupada在四项规范原则方面从不妥协，所以他的追随者们只要严格的追随，最终都得到了进化。Oftentimes,
there were persons that would comment to Prabhupada. They said that your disciples, they look very bright-faced.
有人常常会跟Srila Prabhupada说，你的门徒，面目看上去都是发着光灿。
Because if one follows these principles, which elevate one to sattva gun, to the mode of goodness, then naturally one radiates that type of mode of nature.
所以呢，当一个人严格的去追随这些原则的时候，这些原则就能够自然的把它提升到善良心态。那这种善良心态也会从他的面相上表现出来，就让人看到是发着光灿的。Because
just like a window pane, the cleaner it is, the more light will be able to pass through it.
就像是玻璃窗，一扇窗户，如果它越干净的话，更多的光就能够透进来。So
as the consciousness becomes purified, it's just like cleaning that window, and the consciousness, the purified consciousness, emanating from the soul, is able to shine forth, and you can actually perceive that.
所以当我们净化知觉就好比像擦拭窗户一样，当知觉得到净化之后，那知觉我们知道是灵魂的特征，当知觉得到净化以后，这灵魂的本性就能够展示出来。And
all the other aspects of the Krishna consciousness lifestyle, rising early, taking advantage of those, you know, golden Brahma Muhurta hours and all of that, is also very much part of the whole process.
Krishna 之觉的其他方面，有关生活，生活的其他方面，比如说早起，利用好 Brahma Muhurta 时间来灵修等等，这些也是能够把人提升到善良心态的。
Rising early, taking bath.
早起沐浴。
In many cultures, this is quite a novelty.
在很多文化当中，这是很新鲜的事。
In many cultures, people had gotten into the habit of not bathing in the morning.
在很多文化当中，人们是没有这样的习惯的，不习惯清晨沐浴。
And so there's no way you can be in goodness if you're unclean.
如果没有办法保持洁净的话，就根本不可能提升到善良心态。
Another, you know, in reference to this, you know, Prabhupada, he was famous for rising early and taking bath, even in the cold weather.
Srila Prabhupada 有一个出了名的习惯，就是他总是任何情况下都会清晨早起沐浴，即便是在寒冷的天气。
Even in his household life, and when he was still engaged with his pharmaceutical business, he would sometimes travel and stay in wherever, hotels or other kinds of guest houses, and they would be amazed to see the Prabhupada would rise early, very early in the morning, and take bath, no matter how cold it was, because it's a principle of cleanliness. If you want to be in goodness, you have to be clean.
施拉帕帕的即便是还在居士生活阶段的时候，当时他在开药店，有时难免会出差，需要住在旅馆的客房，人们也会看到他经常从来都是早起沐浴，即便天气特别冷，因为这是洁净的原则，只有保持这样的洁净的原则，才能够保持在善良心态。
If one can do,One should put on tila.
如果可以做到的话，沐浴完也应该涂上提拉克。
It is said that the bath is not complete unless one applies tila.
据说，只有涂上提拉克，沐浴的程序才是完整的。
Clean clothes.
穿上干净的衣服。
Devotional, if possible.
如果条件允许的话，也穿上奉献者服装。
If we're able to engage in the process of deity worship, of course, we know the two main qualifications, punctuality and cleanliness.
如果有可能，那做完。清洁沐浴完穿好衣服之后换好衣服之后可以做一些神像崇拜我们知道神像崇拜的两个基本的原则就是洁净和准时
The Prabhupada said those are the two most important principles and so again there's cleanliness you know it helps us to be regulated to be clean
在神像崇拜方面施拉帕巴的说首要的原则是洁净他又谈到了洁净
So all of this is helping to elevate us to goodness and to transcendence.
所有的这些规范修习和生活方式都在帮助我们提升到善良心态，甚至是超然的心态。
It goes without saying, Prabhupada, he named this movement the Hare Krishna movement, so he wanted us to chant. He wanted us to chant attentively.
是了，帕帕的本。这场灵性运动命名为 Hare Krishna 运动，所以他希望我们能够唱诵 Hare Krishna， 而且全神贯注的去唱诵。
Someone recommended he should name it the International Society for God Consciousness, and Prabhupada said no.
他在注册协会的时候，有人曾经建议他说把他注册成国际神知觉协会，施拉帕帕的拒绝了。
And so, Prabhupada wanted Krishna's name to be glorified. And, of course, he said he wanted it to be specific, because if it's just God, it's like a generic term, which can be interpreted you know, is impersonal. The Prabhupada wanted to be very clear that God's a person, he has a name, Krishna.
Krishna的名字出现在这个社团的名称上，希望Krishna的名字得到荣耀。他不想只是泛泛的用神这个词，他想要具体一点，说到神的具体的名字。他说神有名字，他的名字是Krishna.
But it also gave people the opportunity to chant Krishna's name every time they would refer to the Hare Krishna movement.
那这样一来，每当人们谈到我们的运动的时候，我们的社团的时候，也会有机会多念一次 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 运动。
And even when sometimes people would say mockingly Hare Krishna.
甚至有的人是带着嘲讽的心态在说 Hare Krishna.
They still get benefit, so Prabhupada was happy, even no matter how they would chant, as long as they would chant.
他依然会受益，所以说了，Prabhupada很高兴，不管他们是以什么样的心态来唱诵 Hare Krishna的。
It also goes without saying that Prabhupada really emphasized again and again and again that devotees should study his books each and every day.
说了，Prabhupada也三番五次的强调，说奉献者必须每一天来研习他的书籍。
Never fails, no matter what kind of consciousness you're in, no matter how you may be influenced by the modes of nature. If you just open up Prabhupada's books and you start reading, the consciousness is immediately pulled up.
每天阅读从不中断，无论你在受哪种物质赞赏它的影响，只要你翻开了Prabhupada的书籍开始读，你的知觉就会立即被提升，被托起。
So it's essential. It's not an optional practice. It is essential.
所以每天研习了Prabhupada的书籍是必不可少的，不是可有可无的。
Prabhupada also emphasized that we should take prasadam.
Prabhupada也强调说我们应该荣耀prasadam.
Or better, we use the term honor, to honor prasadam.
或者我们说到prasadam的时候用荣耀这个词，荣耀prasadam.
Because prasadam means the mercy of Krishna.
因为prasadam的意思是仁慈, Krishna的仁慈。
So when we take prasadam, we're honoring the Lord.
因此每次在接受prasadam的时候，我们是在荣耀主。
Sometimes we take this for granted.
有时候我们觉得这是理所当然的。
Or at least some devotees may not take this seriously enough.
或者说，有时候有的奉献者并没有充分的重视prasadam。
And they'll take prasadam if they go to a temple or a center or a gathering, but they may not be so strict at home.
他们可能去到奉献者的中心，或者聚会联谊的时候，或者去庙里会荣耀prasadam，但在家就没那么严格。
Or some may think it's okay to just go eat in the vegetarian restaurant.
或者有的人会觉得去素餐厅吃点东西也没问题。
Now there may be extenuating circumstances for which one has to do that. That's another thing.
当然有时候在特别的极端的情况下，人不得不选择吃非prasadam，但这是另外一回事。
There might be reasons for which you have to do this for family or, you know, for friends or for business, and you don't have any other choice.
可能有时候因为要处理生意上的事情，或者要照顾到家人等等，没有别的选择。
That's a whole other thing.
这是另外一回事。
But if we do have the option, then it's certainly always better to take properly prepared offered foodstuff.
但是当我们有选择的时候，那我们一定要选择，或者说更好的选择，一定是去接受，通过经过恰当的烹制，并且认真的供奉过的食物。
I always remember that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, he would always make sure that everything that he took.Everything he consumed was properly offered. He would always ask, has this been offered? Has this been offered?
我印象很深的是圣塔摩克什那个苏阿米马哈拉什他每一次不管吃什么东西他都一定要确保这个东西是供奉过的所以每次给他什么东西他都要问供奉过了吗
Because this is a principle he learned from Prabhupada.
因为这个原则是他从释迦牟尼的身上直接学到的。
And we know, very clearly that the Prabhupada states that if we eat grains cooked by non-devotees, it actually makes the mind wicked, unable to think of Krishna.
因为释迦牟尼的明确的说过，如果我们接受非奉献者，烹煮的五谷的话，它会让我们的心意变得邪恶，无法铭记 Krishna。
And this is a fact, and it's something that we can actually perceive.
这是事实，我们也能够感知到。
Many long years ago, in the, it would have been the late 70s, when we were about to open this restaurant, in the United States, in a place called Austin, Texas,
我记得很多年前，应该是七十年代末的时候，我们在美国德克萨斯州一个地方在开一个素餐厅。
So myself and a god brother, we went to many other vegetarian restaurants because we wanted to try their preparations and try to understand how they were presenting.You know, various types of menus and all these kind of things. So there was a period of time when both of us ate in numerous vegetarian restaurants.
因为我们打算开一个素餐厅，所以有一段时间我就和我的一个神兄弟去到不同的去到许多家素餐厅去试吃就去想去尝一下每个素餐厅的菜品看看人家是怎么样去经营素菜的。
And previous to this, I had never indulged. I mean, I was always quite strict with just taking the temple prasadam.
在此之前我一直是比较严格的我只荣耀庙里的 prasadam。
But,You know, we kind of justified this by, you know, the fact that it was for service and, you know, it would help to improve the quality of prasadam that we could offer to the public in our own restaurant.
但是我们那段时间就说服自己说我们这个是为了服务是想提高我们就是供应给大众的普沙达姆的质量，所以我们为了提高服务，我们去试一下。
But I could perceive, you know, kind of the subtle contamination, from taking this unoffered foodstuff.
可是我就感觉到了，通过去吃这些没有供奉过的非奉献者准备的食物，我所就能够感受到这种精微的污染。
I could perceive that more kind of materialistic desires would manifest in the consciousness.
我也能够感受到，正是因为吃了这些没有被供奉的非奉献者煮的食物，有很多物质主义的念头、欲望就会浮现在我的知觉中。
But even more pronounced than that was having these nightmares. While resting at night, very bizarre kinds of dreams of just things that I had never perceived, you know, or experienced in this life. And, you know, it was quite pronounced and quite disturbing.
刚刚说到有这个就是这样的食物会有轻微的污染，其实还有很明显的我能够感受到的污染，就是那段时间晚上休息的时候经常会做噩梦，会看到各种从来没见过的可怕的景象。
So I remember what Prabhupada said, of course not the only place, but he said it in Nectar of Instruction. Eating grains cooked by non-devotees makes the mind wicked.
那我就想起来了，是了 Prabhupada 说过的，当然不止在一处讲过，我记得在教会的甘露当中，是了 Prabhupada 说去如果吃非奉献者煮的食物会让我们的心意变得邪恶。
So I stopped doing it.
从那以后我就停了。
And shortly after stopping and just again taking only prasadam, I could perceive this. It was so clear that, you know, the consciousness was much clearer and those nightmares went away, material desires reduced. And so this was really a great realization.
当我不再去吃那些素餐厅的东西重新接着来荣耀 prasadam 的时候，我明显感到知觉就清晰明朗很多，是和就很快就没有了那几天做噩梦的情况了。
We know how much Prabhupada, how much faith Prabhupada had in the distribution of prasadam.
我们也知道Srila Prabhupada对派发 prasadam 这件事多么有信心。
He thought it was the solution.To so many problems.
他认为派发 prasadam 就能够解决很多问题。
There were times when, you know, people were, they were concerned about the crime rate, and they asked Prabhupada what to do, and he just said very simply, "Give us a place so we can distribute prasadam and do sankirtan."
曾经有人担心社会上的犯罪率不断的飙升，所以他们请教 Prabhupada， Prabhupada 就说给我们个地方能让我们派 prasadam 就可以了。
He knew if people would just take prasadam that their consciousness would be purified.
因为是了 Prabhupada 明白只要人们能够荣耀到 prasadam， 他们的知觉就会得到净化。
Interesting point that at one point in the United States,Prabhupada said something, we can find the exact quote, but as I remember, he said, no more temples, now establish restaurants and reading rooms.
我记得在美国的时候，但我们到时候可以找一下这段话具体出自哪里。是了 Prabhupada 曾经说过，现在不需要再建庙了，需要建的是餐厅和阅读室、阅览室。
So that combination of people taking prasadam and then also having an opportunity to read his books.
有了餐厅，人们可以荣耀 prasadam， 有了阅览室，人们可以读到 Prabhupada 的书籍。
I've seen this to be very powerful. I know in our Dallas temple, Of course, the deity there is called Kalachanji, so the restaurant is called Kalachanji's.
我有注意到，就是在我们达拉斯社区有一个素餐厅，因为达拉斯社区的神像叫 Radha Kalachanji, 所以这个素餐厅的名字就叫做 Kalachanji's.
And so, you know,The whole program is just to distribute prasadam.
所以整个社区的活动的重心就是大量的派发 prasadam.
When they started the restaurant, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, he kind of set up a principle that you don't try to preach to people.
在这个餐厅刚刚成立的时候，圣塔玛克什那个 Swami Maharaj 确立了一个原则，不要是不要尝试去给人传教。
Unless, of course, they're inquisitive.
当然了，除非他们主动问。
Just distribute the prasadam.
一般情况下，就只是去派发 prasadam。
And so, very, very aristocratic, educated people, they come, and over a period of months, years, these people, they become very much purified by taking prasadam continuously.
很多贵族阶层的，还有受过教育的人都来这里就餐。通过连续几个月在这里就餐荣耀普沙他们之后，他们的知觉就大大的得到了进化。
And just adjacent to the restaurant is a gift shop, and of course all books are there, and you know all kinds of devotional paraphernalia are there. So there are many people as they go to the restaurant, they pass by the gift shop and they'll pick up a book or they'll get some other devotional paraphernalia like that.
餐厅附近餐厅旁边就是一个礼品店，礼品店里面当然有施乐帕巴德的书，还有奉献者的常用的一些东西用品，所以有的人去餐厅顺便路过这个礼品店的时候，就会买一本帕巴德的书或者是奉献者的用品。
Many long years ago, when I was once visiting Texas, and I was in our Houston community.
有很多年前我去到德克萨斯州去拜访我们的休斯顿社区。
So we were invited to do a program at a yoga center.
我们被邀请去一个瑜伽中心做一个节目。
So it's mostly kirtan, speak a little bit, mostly kirtan.
大部分时候是 kirtan, 偶尔说讲一点。
And there was one man, kind of a tall, heavy-set guy. He was probably in his 30s. And he was sitting kind of close, and I noticed that he kept looking at me.And he was smiling and looking and smiling. And I said, wow, what is this?
然后有一个30岁左右的一个中年男子，身材高大强壮。然后他过了一会儿，他就在我旁边又朝着我微笑，然后又在仔细的端详我。
As if he knew me.
好像认识我一样。
So we finished the program, and then I went over and I was talking to him, and I said, so where are you from?
做完节目之后，那我就跟他开始聊起来，我就问他说，你是从哪里来的？
I said, you sure smiling a lot. You seem very happy.
我就跟他说，在节目的过程当中，你一直在笑，是不是很开心啊？
Then he told his story.
然后他就给我讲了一个故事。
That many years earlier, when he was going to college, and he went to this university in Florida, and on that particular college campus, they had the food, what's it called? Krishna lunch, in which devotees came and they.Distributed prasadam. It was a daily lunch that would be offered by the devotees.
他说，很多年前他在佛罗里达州上大学的时候，每天都会有人来卖 Krishna 午餐，每天。
And so he said that I ate there every lunch.
他说每天午餐我都去那里吃 Krishna 午餐。
He said it was inexpensive.
他说价钱也不贵。
He said it was really good.
非常好吃。
And, you know, I was really thankful that this foodstuff had been sent like this.
我很感激他们能够把这些食物派过来。
And then he said, you know, years later, this kind of desire arose in him to become more of a spiritualist.
他说就这样几年后他心中突然就升起了这样一个愿望想灵修。
So he took prasadam, he did hear the devotees chant, and years later he reflected on all that. He said, you know, there's something here. And so anyway, he ended up coming to this program and he became a devotee.
就是因为他在大学的时候有一段时间每天中午能够吃到 Krishna 午餐，也当然听到过奉献者们唱诵，所以几年后后来又因为这个机缘，在这个唱诵节目当中遇到了我们，后来他就成为了奉献者。
So we can never underestimate the distribution of prasadam.
所以派发 prasadam 的力量永远不要低估。
I always say that if possible, if we can give the whole package of kirtan, Prabhupada's books and prasadam, that's always best.
那我经常说，如果有可能的话，我们最好能够把Prabhupada 的书、prasadam。还有圣名这三样一起整合起来打包给人。
But if we can't give all three, give two. If you can't give two, at least give one.
如果无法三样都给出去，至少给两样。如果给不了两样，至少给一样。
So for many people, taking prasadam is the easiest way to experience Krishna.
对很多人来说，荣耀 prasadam 是最容易体验到 Krishna 的方法。
It will purify the consciousness.
因为这能够净化人们的知觉。
And it will prepare one to be more inquisitive and to get more exposure to the process of Krishna consciousness.
让人做好准备，更容易去询问，更善于询问，更有机会接触到 Krishna 知觉。
Now, we have the, in that particular quote, you know, Prabhupada, he makes mention of the fact that Mahaprabhu has given us a formula of how we can control anger.
在刚刚我们读到的这段要旨当中，是了 Prabhupada 也说了，Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也给了我们一个公式。通过这个公式，我们就能够控制愤怒。
So everyone knows that formula is our third sloka.
这个公式就是主的八训规的第三个世界。
Our famous Trinada Pi Suni Chena.
就是著名的 Trinada Pi Suni Chena 这个世界。
Thing is, most of us can quote it.
但问题是我们大部分人倒是会引用这个世界。
But it may be, it's easier to quote, it's more difficult to practice.
引用这句话倒是容易，但是要修习就难了。
But if one can practice those four principles, one gets a benediction.
如果我们能够认真的去练习这个世界当中谈到的四个品质，我们就能获得一个巨大的祝福。
If you can develop humility, tolerance,
如果能够培养起谦卑、容忍
，be devoid of the desire for personal honor,
不期待个人的荣耀
，and be prepared to give respects to others, then your boon will be you can always chant the holy name of the Lord.
并且随时向别人致敬。如果培养起这四项品质的话，就能够得到一个祝福，就是能够总是不断的唱诵主的圣名。
So that's clearly our formula.
这是我们的公式，很清楚。
But like all formulas, it's up to us to decide how much we want to apply it in our lives.
那要在多大程度上把它运用到我们的生活当中，就取决于我们自己了。
Where Prabhupada says it's essential for us to practice this third sloka if we expect to control anger.
Prabhupada 说, 如果我们真要想控制住愤怒的话，去练习这个第三个师节讲到的这几个品质就是必须的了。
Okay, we'll go ahead and read that second quotation.
我们再来看第二段，这是来自于圣典波迦瓦坛第三篇二十五章二十一师节。主的奉献者圣人在传播知识的过程中必然会遇到诸多阻力，因此他必须非常容忍。由于受制约的灵魂并没有准备好接受有关奉爱服务的超然知识，有人也许会虐待他。受制约的灵魂处在生病的状态中，他们不喜欢超然的知识。为了让人们深入了解奉爱服务的重要性，圣人必须从事吃力不讨好的工作，有时甚至受到暴力的攻击。耶稣基督被钉上了十字架，哈利达斯塔库尔被拖到二十二个集市上挨打，主查特尼亚主要的助手尼天南达被加盖和马代用暴力攻击。然而由于他们的使命是拯救堕落的灵魂，他们忍受这一切。圣人的品德之一是他非常忍受，并对所有堕落的灵魂十分仁慈。
So Prabhupada he keeps referring here to a sadhu.
Prabhupada 在这里反复提到一个词 sadhu.
So I think it's important for us to understand what the symptoms of a sadhu are.
那么我们有必要了解 sadhu 圣人的特征是哪些。
In this the same verse, because that's the purport, but this verse gives us the symptoms.
刚刚我们读的是这个师节的要旨，那这个师节本身就谈到了圣人的品质具体的表现。
He's tolerant.
他容忍。
He's merciful.
仁慈。
He's friendly to all living entities.
友好对待众生。
He has no enemies.
没有敌人。
He is peaceful.
平和。
He abides by all the scriptures.
他吸收了所有的经典。
And he's adorned with all sublime characteristics.
他被许多崇高的品质装饰着。
And so, interesting thing in the word for word, I was looking, this kind of, impacted upon me, that it says he's friendly,to all living entities, and then there's a word ajata satrava. He's inimical to none. Inimical to none.
我在看这个世界的主词翻译，我看到有一个词叫 ajata satrava， 意思是他友好对待众生，他没有敌人。
That really struck me. Meaning to say that the real sadhu.He's friendly to everyone, and even if someone is unfriendly to him, he still remains equal poised, and he doesn't kind of respond or retaliate like this.
那这个词给我很大的触动，也让我明白一个真正的萨度圣人，他是友好对待众生的，即便是有的生物体对他不友好，会报复他，他也不会反击，他还是保持平衡。
Prabhupada's own example of tolerance was quite amazing.
是了 ，Prabhupada 也表现出了惊人的容忍。
He was put into great difficulty, not once, but many times.
他不止一次，多次被置于困境之中。
And we can say the final straw before him making his move, in a sense, was when he got the telegram that told that you know, his own assistants had plundered his business and he had nothing left.
我们知道施洛帕帕的有一次他突然接到一个电报说他的助理把他的一切都洗劫一空，他已经什么都没有了。
He took it as Krishna's mercy. Krishna was moving him in a certain direction.
而他把这件事视为 Krishna 的仁慈， Krishna 在指引他去另外一个方向。
He had to tolerate the whole preparation to go to the West. None of it was easy.
他准备去西方的整个过程，没有一件事情是容易的，但他都得容忍。
He practically had to beg to get, you know, free passage on the Jaladuta.
连免费他甚至是求着。别人才得到一张船票，能够免费登上加拉都塔号。
At least externally, you know, it could be perceived like that. He was going as a sadhu. He was asking, you know, for Sumati Maharaji to please give him free passage.
当然，外在的看，我们是看是这样的。他是一个sadhu，他亲自去向 Sumati Maharaji，来请求得到一张船票，能够登上这艘货船。
So she got this opportunity to do a very valuable service.
Sumati Maharaji 他也因此获得这样一个宝贵的机会，做了这么重要的一个服务。
As it turns out that, you know, she had met Prabhupada very briefly, during the Kumbh Mela, and you know, she didn't know who he was, just saw him as a sadhu, probably was chanting kind of alone, and she bowed down and gave a donation. So doing that initial service allowed her to do more service.
她之所以能够得到机会做这么宝贵的一个服务，也是源于一次偶然的机会，在昆巴梅拉上，她遇到 Prabhupada 一个人坐在那里念诵，当时她并不了解，并不认识 Prabhupada， 他只是把他看作是一个圣人，就接近他，向他顶拜，给了他一些布施，就是因为源于最初的这一个小小的服务，他就后来让他有了又有一次机会来为 Prabhupada 做这么宝贵的一个服务。
So service begets service.
所以我们说服务生服务。
She had done someseemingly insignificant service, and then now she was getting the opportunity to do a much bigger service.
她最初为 Prabhupada 做的那个服务看上去是微不足道的，但是就是因为最初的那一点点服务让她有了机会，这一次给施洛帕帕做这么大的一个服务。
That's why we always try to engage others in doing some service.
所以呢，我们也总是在设法让人们以某种方式，来从事一些服务。
We want to start them on the path.
我们希望能够通过让他们服务来开启他们奉爱的道路。
Because service begets service.
因为服务生服务。
So Prabhupada's tolerance, you know, this was only the beginning, and then.Having those heart attacks and then going to a place with no contacts, no assistance, no assurance of support. You know, it was really a big, very, a very difficult endeavor. It took a lot of tolerance.
圣帕帕的最初经历的这每一件事情，所有的一切都需要他有巨大的容忍之心。从在海上的几次心脏病发作，到了美国之后举目无亲，没有任何的生活保障等等，这一切都需要他容忍。
Well, Prabhupada's our role model of how to be.You know, tolerant in the most difficult situations.
如何在最艰难的处境当中保持容忍，在这方面施勒帕帕的是我们的典范。
Now in this particular extract, probably he makes mention of other persons who had to be tolerant. He mentions Jesus.
在这个世界的要旨当中，施勒帕帕的 举到其他的人的容忍的例子，他谈到耶稣基督。
He probably considered Jesus a bona fide son of the Lord.
Prabhupada 说耶稣基督是主的真正的儿子。
Once he said that we accept Jesus as our guru.
他甚至也说过我们接受耶稣基督为我们的 guru.
One who is teaching by example.
他在以身作则的在教导我们。
So Prabhupada, he had appreciation for the tolerance that Jesus had to have, particularly in those very difficult times.
因此他也很欣赏耶稣基督在面临艰难的处境的时候所展示出的容忍。
At one point, he was made to wear a crown of thorns.
甚至他被迫要穿上有荆棘做成的一个，戴上荆棘做成的一个，一个王冠。
What to speak of being nailed on the cross?
更别说要被钉上十字架。
Or jabbed with a spear.
或者被被 jabbed by a spear.
Spear, you know what a spear is?
甚至是被插上匕首。
A shaft with a pointed. It's a pointed. Right? Something you throw. You throw it, right? It's a shaft, and one side is a pointed, like a. You know, it's like it's pointed on the end, right?
对，就用匕首，有人将匕首刺到他的身上。
So while he was nailed on the cross, someone.One of the soldiers jabbed him in the side with a spear.
当他被钉上十字架的时候，甚至有人又给他又刺了匕首。
What did he say? He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing."
他是怎么说的呢？他说，我的父啊，请原谅他们，他们不懂得他们在做什么。
So only someone with advanced spiritual consciousness could say such a thing.
只有灵性知觉及其进步的人才能够说出这样的话来。
Prabhupada makes mention of Haridas Thakur.
这里也提到 Haridas Thakur.
Similar way, you know, he had to display a tremendous amount of tolerance.
同样的，他也展示出了无与伦比的容忍之心。
For his crime of chanting Hare Krishna.
而唯一的罪行仅仅是因为他唱诵 Hare Krishna.
He was imprisoned.
就因此而被捕入狱。
And there was a threat that if he wouldn't give up the chanting of a Hindu god's name and refused to give up you know, the recitation of a Hindu scripture that, you know, he would have to be punished.
他被威胁说，如果你再不放弃唱诵一个印度神的名字，不放弃，如果你再不放弃阅读这些经典的话，你就会受罚。
And you know, he was offered by the king that,You know, if you just give this up, then no harm will come to you.
国王就告诉他说，如果你能够放弃这两件事情，你就不会有任何的麻烦，任何伤害。
Haridas said, "My body may be cut to pieces, and I may give up my life, but I will not give up chanting the holy name."
可是哈利达斯塔库尔回答说，我可以被粉身碎骨，我可以。被夺取生命，但是我永远不会放弃唱诵Krishna 的圣名。
And then, of course, he was drugged through, you know, 22 marketplaces.
当然后来他就 被拖到22个集市上。
What kind of tolerance does that take?
这得需要多大的容忍啊。
Or how about Nityananda Prabhu? He's sent to preach by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he comes across Jagai and Madai. One of them, you know, throws a piece of clay pot, cuts his head, and blood is flowing all over the place.
那尼天恩的普布被主持人尼玛哈巴布派出去传教，他不幸遇到了加盖和马代，他们其中一人就捡了破碎的土罐，把扔到了尼天恩的普布的额头上，那把。
When Mahaprabhu comes to know of it, he's furious. He comes ready to cut off the head of this person.
当马哈布听说这件事之后，他怒不可遏，他想立即就砍下这两个人的头颅。
But Nityananda Prabhu appeals to him, "You have to tolerate this. Your coming is not to slay the offenders with weapons, but." You know, through the weapon of your bodily beauty and the holy name.
可是，尼天恩的普布却拦住了他，像他求情说，这次你的降临，你来到这里，不是为要杀掉他们，不是来杀人的，而是要用你的躯体之美和你的圣名来吸引人的。
So like that.These examples of such personalities who were put in such extreme kind of situations and how they responded. It's quite inspiring.
这些例子让我们看到这些圣人们是如何在极端艰难的处境下是如何展示容忍的。
Yes.So I think what we'll do, because we've spoken for about an hour, I think that we can ask if there are any questions we can discuss for a bit. I don't want to go quite as long now. I want to keep these talks to about an hour and a half or so if I can, because just our time has its limitations.
已经一个小时了，所以我们想停下来看看大家有没有什么问题。
Any questions come up?
大家有没有什么问题
？Or reflections? Don't necessarily have to be a question. But some reflection is there. What you've heard.
如果没有什么问题的话，那今天讲的内容有没有什么地方有引起大家的反思，或者是有得到什么启示，都可以分享一下。
Okay, there's a question there from looks like from Rajendra Prabhu.
Yes.第一个问题来自 Rajendra Prabhu， 容忍和宽容是无限的，没有底线的吗？理论上知道容忍的重要性，在实际作用中难以无限容忍。如果有亵渎神和 Acharya 的事情出现，如何熟练掌握容忍的原则，在传教中发挥最大功效？ Can our tolerance be unlimited?In theory, we know it's very important to be tolerant, but in practice, we can't be tolerant unlimitedly. When we encounter some, when we say Lord and Acharya's being blasphemed, how can we exercise a principle of tolerance?How can we best use the principle of tolerance in our preaching?
Yes, that is a good question.
很好的问题。
Now, and I was thinking of that earlier, and I thought this would come up.
刚刚我也在想，肯定会有奉献者问到这个问题。
A Vaishnava should not tolerate blasphemy.
Vaishnava 奉献者不应该容忍亵渎。
And either you should defeat the person with philosophical argument.
遇到亵渎的这样的事件，要么你用哲学来击败对方。
You know, there's something that says that we should, and if we can't, and we should take our life, or we should just walk away. We should not expose ourselves to it. So I think generally we probably won't go to the extreme. So if we have that ability,then we should defeat them. If not, we should walk away. We don't want to expose ourselves to someone speaking blasphemy of the Lord or the Lord's devotees.
经典当中有讲到说，遇到亵渎主或者主的奉献者的情况，我们要么用哲学击败对方，如果没有能力做到的话，就得立即结束自己的生命，但我们不想采取这样的极端的方法，所以呢，最好是离开现场。我们不想，我们不想去，我们不想处在，不想聆听别人对主或奉献者的亵渎。
And of course, we can't artificiallyimitate our founder Acharya or other advanced Vaishnavas. We follow in their footsteps by following their instructions.
当然，我们的创办灵性导师圣 Prabhupada 还有其他的进步的奉献者，我们是模仿不来的。可是我们可以通过去追随他们的训示，遵守他们的训示，来追随他们的步伐。
We know at times the Prabhupada was very strong.
我们也知道，是的 ，Prabhupada 有时候是会很强硬。
You know, there are videos of him on the Vyasasan, and you know there's you know someone who's speaking Mayavad philosophy, you know, or something like this, and Prabhupada just like fire, just like a lion.
我们看到有一些视频上，释迦牟尼佛坐在比亚瑟山上，听到现场有人提到玛雅瓦利的东西，他就就像发怒的狮子一样在怒吼着。
You can just see him. He's almost yelling. Not almost, he is. He's really strong, and he's, you know, he's just.Really defeating that person with Shastra and everything like that. But, you know, Prabhupada also said, I can do this and you cannot. I mean, there are certain things that we can do in our own way, and it's not necessarily going to be an imitation of what Prabhupada did because we're not him.
当时释迦牟尼佛就在简直就是在怒吼，他用经典非常严厉的击败对方。但释迦牟尼佛也说过，我可以这样做，但是你们不能。所以说 Prabhupada 他的做法是我们模仿不来的。
Because Prabhupada was the founder of Acharya, and because, you know, he was cast in this role and having to fulfill a particular position, you know, he would be challenged by others.
因为释迦牟尼佛他处在创办灵性导师的位置，他扮演着这样的角色，因此他时不时的会受到不同人的挑战。
But in most instances, we find that he's quite considerate. He's quite quite kind, and although he's making his points, he does so in a, you know, in a more gentle way.
但是很多情况下，施乐帕巴达还是会很体谅，对方的感受的，会很友善，以恰当的方式来跟对方讲话。
Still not compromising.
但依然不会妥协。
So in this instance, then it these are the recommendations of how to deal with a blasphemer.
所以刚刚说到的就是如何面对亵渎神和奉献者的情况的方法。
At the same time, we should be sensitive as to how we present Krishna consciousness according to a particular time, place, and circumstance.
与此同时我们也要敏感注意到我们所处的具体的情况时间和地点。
Sometimes the way that we present Krishna consciousness can invite this kind of response.
有时候正是因为我们正是因为我们呈现 Krishna 知觉的某种方式才激起了对方的亵渎或类似的反应。
So that's a very important consideration as well.
对，这一点很重要，我们也要考虑到。
That generally, when Prabhupada is preaching to all different types of people, the methodology he follows is to inquire about the person, something about their lives and all of that, and then after hearing a bit, he'll extract a point and then he'll begin to preach. But more often than not, he just starts with the very simple kind of basics, you know, the difference between the body and the soul.
一般而言，释迦牟尼的传教的思路是这样的：他遇到一个人之后呢，他先会询问关于他的生活还有其他方面的问题。从对方的回答当中，他会抽取一些讯息，然后会渗透Krishna知觉的东西，往往都是从最基本的东西、基本的知识讲起，比如给对方讲灵魂和躯体的区别。
Then when the person or persons have at least accepted that, then he moves on. Otherwise, he won't.
对方接受了，理解了灵魂和躯体的区别，他才会进一步往下讲。否则的话，就会继续讲这一个话题。
So that was kind of the art of preaching that the Prabhupada he taught by his own example.
这就是释迦牟尼的向我们示范的传教的艺术。
So yeah, that's a consideration.
这一点我们也要考虑到。
And there was also discussion between Prabhupada and His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. As I remember, it took place in Mumbai. I think this would have been perhaps in Juhu.
我还记得，释迦牟尼的和塔茂克什纳戈斯瓦米的一个对话，那是在孟买朱湖庙。
And there was one devotee who was giving them the leaders so much trouble, and they could not see how they were going to accommodate this devotee.
有一个人，他给奉献者很多麻烦，他都不知道该要怎么处理了。
And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj asked, "Is there any limit to the mercy of Lord Nityananda?"
Tamal Krishna Goswami 就问释迦牟尼的说：“主尼天南达的仁慈有极限吗？”
And Prabhupada said no.
Prabhupada 说没有。
So, you know, they tried to accommodate this devotee and everything, even as difficult as he was. As it turned out, he eventually left. But, you know, Prabhupada's point was we should try to do everything within our power to make someone a devotee and keep them a devotee.
因为这个奉献者给别的奉献者很大的麻烦，当然奉献者们还是尝试去接受他，容忍他，可是不知怎的后来他还是离开了。但施拉帕巴特说，我们要竭尽全力想方设法让人们成为奉献者，并且保持奉献者，坚持做奉献者。
Okay, next question please.
下一个问题，有圣巴克蒂查入Maharaj's 健康的消息吗？ The devotee is asking about update about Bhakti Chara Maharaj's health.
Okay, so of course, I don't know how much you've heard, but he is, he's currently in a hospital in Florida.
不知道大家了解的最新的消息是怎样的？据我所知，现在Maharaj 还在佛罗里达州的一个医院。
He is on a ventilator.
还在用呼吸机。
And you may know that a requirement to be on a ventilator is that you have to be put into a medically induced coma.
大家可能知道，就是你要用呼吸机的一个条件，就是你要通过一种医学的方式，要处在一个昏迷的状态。
So his condition is critical, but it's stable.
Maharaj, 他的情况还是挺严峻的，但是同时也是比较稳定的。
As I understand, first of all, he has the best of care. That particular hospital, is quite well equipped and specializes in treatment of COVID-19.
首先他所处的那个环境，那个医院条件很好，还是比较好的，他得到很好的照顾。那个医院专门是来负责处理新冠病毒的。
In addition to that, there are a group of devotees who are doctors, and they've formed a medical team.And so they're also in regular contact with the doctors in Florida. And so, you know, they are working together around the clock to determine what is the best type of care that Maharaj can receive at this time.
还有就是有一群奉献者，他们也是医生，所以他们就组成一个临时的医疗小组，持续的和佛罗里达州的这个医院的医生保持着联系，他们几乎24小时不停的保持着沟通，随时在讨论现在能够给予 Maharaj 的最好的照顾的方式是什么。
So apparently there's one type of a therapythat utilizes, I think, the antibodies of some of the persons who have been able to recover from COVID-19. They take antibodies from the blood or something and inject them. That helps. That also helps, I think, the immune system or something, as I understand. And so they're looking...For that as well, apparently there is a connection that someone has, and that's either it's been done or will be done. That's also another thing they're looking at.
有一种看似会奏效的目前看似会奏效的一个疗法，就是从已经从新冠病毒中恢复的人，从他们身上抽取一些血样，这个可以作为抗体，然后注入到 Maharaj 的身体当中。这是目前他们能够想到的可能会奏效的方法，可能已经在做了，或许将会采取这个办法。
And we are receiving updates every 12 hours or so.
我们每过12个小时都会收到 Maharaj 的健康的最新消息。
So that's basically the situation at present.
目前就是这样的情况。
Many of the devotees who are serving as GBC members, they believe that, you know, the fact that this has happened is a wake-up call, and it should teach us that this is serious and that, you know, we should take precaution. And for all of those devotees that we are connected with and we have responsibility for, that we should also do everything within our power to make sure they remain vigilant and take the necessary precautions not to contract the disease.
那很多奉献者，尤其是 JBC 们，他们讨论说，之所以，这个事情本身也是在提醒我们，也给我们一个警钟，告诉我们这个新冠病毒这件事情确实是很严重的。我们所有人，所有奉献者都应该采取防护措施。我们也有责任让和我们有联系的我们身边的所有奉献者都采取防护措施，保持保证安全。
So we continue to pray in the mood of the prayer that Prabhupada gave us shortly before he passed from this world. That you know, our dear Lord Krishna, if it's your desire, please allow His Holiness Bhakti Tru Swami to recover.
我们还是继续向马哈拉之祈祷，祈祷的方式就是施乐 Prabhupada 在离开躯体前不久就要奉献者的祈祷的方式，也就是亲爱的主，如果您愿意的话，就请让圣 Bhakti Charu Maharaj 康复吧。
So Prabhupada himself taught us how to pray in these kind of situations.
Prabhupada 也亲自教我们如何在这样的情况下去祈祷。
So please do keep Maharaj in your prayers.
所以请大家继续为 Maharaj 祈祷。
Next question, please.
感谢 Maharaj 的启发，请讲课。感谢翻译的翻译。个体灵魂是人格的，人格意味着是有情感的。愤怒是情感展示之一，不可能无限期的压抑。况且灵性世界也有愤怒的展示，如何恰当的展示愤怒，既能不影响传教，不影响自己的灵修，还能给他人带来益处。Thank you, Maharaj, for your instructive lectures. We know that individual souls are personal. Being personal means we have our feelings, our emotions, one of which is anger. So we cannot suppress our anger unlimitedly. Andanger is there in the spiritual world anyway. So how can we manifest or show our anger in a way that is not affecting our preaching, that is not disturbing our spiritual practice, and at the same time, it benefits others? Thank you.
Well, you know, there's purified and unpurified anger.
愤怒有净化过的愤怒和没有净化的愤怒。
And if one is sufficiently advanced, then one may at times, and in certain circumstances, use anger as a tool.
当一个人足够得到了足够的进化、足够进步的时候，他可能偶尔在某些情况下。把愤怒也当作一个工具来用。
Like a guru may correct a disciple.
就像guru 可能会通过愤怒来纠正一个门徒。
And anger might be used.
在这种情况下，他是在运用愤怒。
Or as we mentioned earlier, you know, if someone's blasphemous, we might use anger.As a way to defeat them, I mean, as a way, it's part of the process of defeating them philosophically.
还有刚刚提到，当我们听到有人亵渎主和他的奉献者的时候，我们就需要去用哲学击败他们。在击败的过程当中，也会用到愤怒的情绪。这时候呢，是在运用愤怒。
But this is controlled anger.
但这些是节制的，有所节制的愤怒。
It's something which is used as a tool.
是被当作一种工具加以利用的愤怒。
But if it's uncontrolled, then it can consume us.
但如果不加以节制的话，愤怒就会消耗我们。
Because we may use it indiscriminately.
因为可能我们不加区分的就任意用上了愤怒。
And, you know, we may lash out at anybody almost, even though the provocation may not be warranted by the provocation.
What is that? The
provoke?
Yes.
Provocation, right? You understand?
Yeah, yes.
Means to say that we may use anger even though it's not warranted.
就是有时候如果我们不加节制的去用愤怒的话，那可能在有一些情况下，这个情况并没有严重到那种程度，我们也用上了愤怒。
We might just be annoyed by someone's character, someone's personality, or something that someone said, or whatever, and it just annoys us, and you know, we just lash out at the person, and it's not really warranted.
可能只是因为这个人他的个性或者他的做事的方式激怒了我们，激怒了我们，我们就针对这个人而发泄了我们个人的愤怒，而这个是不正当的。
So if we're not very qualified, we should be very careful of how we use anger. Otherwise, it can consume us. We can, if we utilize it indiscriminately, especially if we use it amongst devotees, then it can lead to Vaishnava aparad.
所以说，如果我们还没有达到一定的资格，我们就要特别小心，不要不加区分的任意的去动用愤怒，尤其是在奉献者之间，如果任意的发怒的话，我们就会犯下 Vaishnava aparad， 就会冒犯奉献者。
If we use it indiscriminately in our preaching, you know, it could offend people and have the opposite effect.
如果在传教的过程当中用上了愤怒，但用的不恰当的话，就会起到反作用。
We know anger is categorized as one of the six main anartas.
我们说我们内心的六种不洁，其中之一就是愤怒。
So this is, we can say, materialistic anger, which is being prompted by the modes. And we heard earlier that this is a manifestation of ignorance.
所以说，我们说这样的情况的话，这种愤怒就是物质的愤怒，是在受到物质三形态的影响的。
So unless and until one's sufficiently advanced and sufficiently purified, and we can use anger as a tool so that it achieves a purpose, a goal, in very restricted, very very restricted type of situations, then it's very likely that it's being born from the mode of ignorance.
只有当我们足够的进步，得到足够的进化的时候，我们才能够有能力把愤怒当作一种工具来使用。否则的话，大部分情况下，我们不加限制的去用上愤怒的情绪，那这种愤怒只不过是在愚昧形态的影响下的。
In my own experience, when I was a young devotee, I would sometimes try to imitate what some of the more senior devotees did.
我自己的经验就是，
当我还是一个比较年轻的奉献者的时候，我曾经有一段时间是尝试去模仿那些年长奉献者的做法。
And I saw, you know, at least where I was at the time, there were some seated devotees that were really very strong in their preaching and all. And, you know, I thought I would just imitate them. You know, they're doing it, I'll do the same thing.
当时在我所在的地方，我看到一些年长的奉献者传教的时候是很强硬的，我就是想我也试试，也模仿一下。嗯，所以我就模仿。
But then I found the result was not very desirable. It would seem that I was offending people, and I was driving more people away than I was attracting.
但我发现结果并不是我们所想要的。我赶走的人比我吸引的人还多。
So we have to bear this in mind that we can't imitate.You know, what others may be doing, they may be much more advanced than us, and there may be particular circumstances in which they might employ anger as a tool, but there's always a danger in trying to imitate someone. You know, we should try to understand who we are, what our level of advancement is, what our abilities are,and utilize them, not just imitate others.
所以我们要小心，不要模仿别人。可能对方他是在某种特别的处境下才用上了愤怒，或者是他处在某种进步的阶段。我们不能模仿，我们始终得明白我是谁，我是什么样的人，我处在什么样的进步的阶段，我有什么样的能力。然后用我们所有拥有的能力，不要去模仿别人。
So we should be very careful about how we utilize anger.
所以呢，怎么运用愤怒，就要特别的小心。
It should be rarely employed and only by those who have the ability to control it.
应该是在极少的情况下才用，而且应该是那些有能力控制愤怒的人才能去用。
Something else?
接下来，林大公路，在生活和工作中，所有的事情都需要容忍吗？我们要怎样区分？Please accept my obeisances in our daily life and in our work. Should we tolerate everything without discrimination? Or how can we discriminate what to tolerate, what not to tolerate?
Well, what's the alternative?
那还有什么选择呢？不容忍还可以怎么做？
I mean, if we don't tolerate, then that means what? Here's my assessment that someone's in a particular situation. You mentioned, I think, in work.So at the workplace, someone says something, that someone does something, you know, should we just tolerate that?
您说到的在工作中，是不是，就是说在职场上，工作的场所，有人说了些什么话，或者做了些什么事情，我们是不是都要容忍？
Well, it's really time, place, and circumstance.
那真的要看具体的情况，场合是场合、时间、地点。
In some instances we might, in other instances we may not.
有的情况下要忍，有的情况下可能不需要。
And in a situation where, you know, we do not, then it's a question of how we respond.
那在不需要容忍的情况下，那就要考虑到底怎么样的应对方式才是恰当的。
I don't believe that we should let others take advantage of us unduly.
我想我们也不应该让别人不恰当的去利用我们。
That's not good for them either.
对他们也不好。
But there's a way to respond in which we don't have to lose our intelligence by becoming angry. We can be more composed and, you know, in our response, making a particular statement, making a particular point. It may have a much better, more desirable outcome.
但总有一种方式可以让我们以冷静的、智慧的方式去应对、结果也符合我们的愿望而不是、发怒。
But at the same time, it's not that every little thing that someone says or does, you know, should be so troubling to our mind.
嗯，但我们也要注意，不要让任何人说的一点点，什么，让我们不愉悦的事情，或者做的一个什么一，哪怕是小小的事情，就让自己的心意受到干扰。
Again, conditioned souls. Are influenced by the modes of nature.
当然像我们刚刚说到的受条件限制的灵魂都不可避免的在受着低等自然形态的影响。
So it's no surprise that they may act in an undesirable way at times.
所以其他人偶尔以我们不喜欢的方式去行事这也是意料之中的。
And, you know, a lot...may have to be tolerated.
很多是需要我们容忍的。
So, you know, we're going to have to see case by case, and there are extremes, and in the extremes, it's just a question of how to best deal with it.
我们得具体情况具体分析，有一些极端的情况，我们就看，那最佳的解决办法是什么。
We can't necessarily change people to be the way that we want, but we have some control over our response to a given situation.
我们没有办法去改变，不一定能改变人们对待我们的方式，但是在一个具体的情况下，我们可以选择我们应对的方式。
And that kind of brings another point that, you know, if we're known as a spiritualist, or...even as a devotee of Krishna, you know, people, they'll judge us on our behavior.
从另外一个角度讲，我们是作为灵修者，作为 Krishna 的奉献者，其他人也会根据我们的行为来评判我们。
So if we're seen as being, you know, angry all the time or being arrogant, condescending, you know, in this mood, you know, it's not going to reflect very well on our practice of Krishna consciousness. People will think, this is a devotee of Krishna, they're like that.
如果老让人看到我们作为 Krishna 的奉献者还总是发怒总是盛气凌人骄傲自大那这就没有办法很好的去反映我们作为奉献者的品质。别人可能会说他还是奉献者呢就这样啊。
You know, people tend to judge us according to our actions.
人们往往都是通过我们的行为来判断我们的。
So if one has, you know, good qualities, you know, that is a lot better, a much better type of...convincing platform in which people can perceive that this is a spiritualist, a devotee of Krishna, someone who is exemplary, they, according to their criteria.
所以人们判断我们是不是一个真正的灵修者或者 Krishna 的奉献者就是看我们的行为我们的行为是最有说服力的这是他们人们评判我们的标准
So like this like this
就是这样的宽容是摆脱二元性有力的武器吗是谦卑的开端吗顶白咕噜的莲花组
How many more questions are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I can't do them all.
5.
I'll do one more.
我们再来回答一个。宽容是摆脱二元性有力的武器吗？是谦卑的开端吗？ Is tolerance a weapon to overcome duality? Is it the beginning of humility?
Well, it's certainly in Mahaprabhu's formula.
当然，这个是在马哈帕布在主的八训规第三条的这个公式当中提到的。
It's all part of the package, is it not? Because, you know, he tells us that the components that are required here, that there's humility, there's tolerance. So, it would seem that there's kind of a sequence that begins with humility, and if you're truly humble, then you can be much more tolerant.
我们看到马哈巴布提到的这几个要素，当中，他也是有次第的。如果我们足够谦卑的话，也就能够更容忍了。
Because first he says you have to be lower than the grass.
首先，因为他第一句说的是什么呢？他先说的是，比一棵草还谦卑。
So if you really truly believe that they're lower in the grass, and not very significant, then it'll be much easier to tolerate things.
如果你真的相信，真的觉得自己比草还谦卑，自己很微不足道，这时候就更容易容忍了。
In a sense, this is simply an honest, realistic assessment of who we are.
其实，从某种意义上来讲，这只是一种对我们身份的一个诚实的评估，认识到我们到底是谁。
After all, we're 1/10,000th tip of a hair.
其实我们毕竟，我们只不过是发间的万分之一。
That's pretty insignificant.
特别的微不足道。
How many souls can we fit into a square inch?
在一平方英尺这么大的空间内，我们能够装下多少个灵魂？
If there are only 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, then I guess they can figure out that math, but quite a few can just fit in a square inch, which isn't very large.
1英尺，这么一点点，的空间能够装多少呢？因为我们知道灵魂的大小不过是发间的万分之一。
So in that respect, we're really quite insignificant.
所以说，从这个角度来讲，我们真的很微不足道。
And it's only the false ego that makes us believe we're so important.
只是假我让我们觉得我们特别重要。
So if we actually understand our position, then it'll be much easier to tolerate the complexities of this world.
如果我们能够了解自己的处境、自己的位置，我们就更容易去容忍这个世间的纷繁复杂的一切了。
So this is our formula. First, there's the humility and the tolerance comes, and you know, if we're really tolerant, truly tolerant, then we won't expect honor, because we won't crave that type of appreciation from others.
我们看到马哈巴布在主的八训规第三条当中说的这几个品质的顺序。他先说是谦卑如草，如果我们有谦卑的话，如果真的谦卑了解我们的位置，我们就更容易容忍，如果足够容忍的话，我们也就不去渴望得到别人的赞美，得到别人的荣耀了。
in that respect, if you think about it, one has to be quite intolerant to expect honor. You cannot tolerate not being honored.
如果你不够容忍的话，你就特别的渴望得到别人的荣耀，别人的欣赏。别人不欣赏你，不赞美你，你是无法容忍的。
But if you're actually tolerant, then this is not going to bother you. You don't expect it. It's not something you're craving. You're not disturbed if you don't get it.
如果你非常的容忍，那么你就不期待别人的荣耀。别人不荣耀你，不赞美你，你也不会受到干扰。
It's only the false ego that keeps, you know, pushing us forward.
只是假我在督促我们去渴望这些东西。
I'm so important.
让我们觉得我很重要。
You know, and everybody should be, you know, praising me for everything I do.
每个人都应该赞美我，我做什么都应该得到赞美。
That's the manifestation of the false ego.
这是假我的体现。
This has nothing to do with spiritual consciousness.
这和灵性的知觉没有任何关系。
This is materialistic consciousness.
这是物质主义的知觉。
So Mahaprabhu is appealing to our, you know, our sense of, you know, understanding things as they are.
所以呢，马哈帕布通过鼓励我们培养这个品质，是在呼吁我们理解我们的真正的理解呼吁我们看到事情的真相。
This is not his opinion. This is a statement of fact.
这并不是他的个人的观点，这是事实。
If you really understand how insignificant you are, then you'll understand. You will embrace the fact that you are indeed lower than the grass.
如果真的能够觉悟到我们的真正的身份，我们就会了解自己的确是微不足道的，比草还低。
And if you're so tiny and insignificant, then it would be much more natural for you to develop tolerance and not expect personal honor.
如果认识到自己有多么的微不足道，那就很容易容忍，不去期待别人去赞美我们。
And you can better appreciate others.
这样一来就更容易去欣赏别人了。
Actually, particularly as Vaishnavas, we get so much benefit out of appreciating other Vaishnavas.
尤其是作为 Vaishnava 奉献者，如果我们能够去欣赏、赞美别的 Vaishnava 奉献者，我们会获得很大的益处。
This is what Madhyams, this is the consciousness of the Madhyamadhikari. The devotees are dear to Krishna. So, you know, if Krishna loves his devotees, then we too should love his devotees, and we should be always in a mood of appreciating them and rendering them service and so on.
这是 Madhyama 终极奉献者的表现，他会欣赏奉献者，爱奉献者。我们知道 Krishna 是很爱他的奉献者的，如果我们也学会去欣赏奉献者，关爱奉献者， Krishna 也会被取悦的。
So with that, we're going to end. We're almost at 2 hours, getting close to 2 hours. I think that's long enough.
已经快两个小时了，所以我们今天就到这里结束。
And either we'll answer these next class, or perhaps we'll send the answers to your chat.
接下来还有几个问题，我们可以抽时间给大家把答案录下来，或者是在下一节课上再回答。
So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
感谢大家今天早上来听课。
Now thanks Satyamachiji for facilitating.
感谢夏婷妈的指引安排今天的早课。
Thank Shyamalila for her translation.
感谢 Shyamalila 的翻译。
And we give all thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this amazing, amazing process of Krishna consciousness.
我们也再一次感谢 Srila Prabhupada 给我们如此棒的 Krishna 知觉的休息的程序。
One that we should never take for granted.
我们永远不要觉得这个程序休息程序是理所当然的。
And every single day of our lives, we should express our gratitude to Prabhupada, the predecessor Acharyas, to Mahaprabhu and his associates, and Radhe Shyam and all their associates for giving us this opportunity to somehow or another be some kind of devotee and, you know, practice Krishna consciousness.
每一天我们都要向 Srila Prabhupada 以及他之前的先辈灵性导师 Mahaprabhu 和他的同游以及 Radhisham 以及他们的同游表达感恩，感谢他们给我们这个机会，让我们能够不管怎么样能够做一点规范修习，成为奉献者。
So Krishna willing, we'll returna week from today.
Krishna, 愿意的话，下一周同一时间我们再继续。
Thank you so much.
非常感谢大家。Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Jai Prabhupada. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. 谢谢大家，谢谢 Satyamadaji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.